You're listening to the Take Your Shot podcast, a podcast for wedding photographers and videographers looking to grow and scale their business. I'm your host, Hallie Heather, and my goal is for you to walk away feeling empowered and inspired as you continue to build a business that you're passionate about and that serves both you and your clients well. So whether you're operating as a side hustle or you're looking for tips and tricks on how to improve and scale your business, you, my friend, are in the right place. You don't have to figure it all out on your own, and I'm so glad you're here. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Take Your Shot podcast. Today, I've got an amazing guest. Her name is Rachel Traxler, and we are going to be talking all about booking high-end clients. And so this is an episode you're not going to want to miss. And Rachel, welcome aboard. So happy to have you. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about like who you are and what you do?
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so excited to be on. So thank you for having me. Yeah, my name is Rachel Traxler. I am a wedding photographer based in Wisconsin, but also a photography business coach. I've been in the industry for 11 years and I've just loved it. It's been so much fun getting to, you know, just expand and grow with myself and the industry. And yeah, I actually, when I first started my business, I did not want to go full-time photography. I know we briefly talked about this ahead of time too. I worked in the medical field, so I've always loved to help other people and serve other people. That's always been very strong in like just what I like to do is I love, like, I just feel like I've been called to serve and I'm very like strong in my faith in my business and in my life. And that's just something I've always felt called to do. So I love that I've been able to like switch gears, still do wedding photography and serve my wedding clients, but then also serve other photographers. It's been really fun. So that's just kind of a quick little rundown.
I love it. I love it so much. And I think just like, it comes back to like, how are you serving people and how do you feel called to that? You know, like trying to figure out your specific space in that. And it can look so many different ways. So I just love that you're finding your way of using your gifts and talents and the best way to serve not just you, but also your clients. So I think that's so awesome. And today we're talking all about specifically clients and like booking premium clients. And so I think to just like kick things off, just jump right in, I would love to hear what are some big mistakes you see photographers making or creative entrepreneurs making when it comes to booking premium clients? Like what are some of the misconceptions or mistakes that you feel that are holding them back from doing so?
Yeah, I love this question because there's so many things, right? Like there's a lot of things that can be going on and going wrong and it's all about trial and failure, all of that. But I like to think of premium clients when you're booking premium clients as a pyramid. So I created this method, the premium client pyramid. So if you envision a pyramid, there's four tiers in that pyramid. And the very bottom one is social media. And I think a lot of people, a lot of photographers and business owners really kind of stop their marketing efforts at social media and they don't go beyond that. And so that's what keeps people in that bottom level thinking of just social media. And then they're wondering, why am I not attracting premium clients? Why am I not attracting clients at all? Why am I not getting inquiries? Why is my marketing, my messaging, why are things not working? And in reality, there's so much more to that. And I think so people, a lot of people just stop in that social media, that bottom level. But then that second level of the pyramid is your website and your portfolio. And so if you take it a step deeper, how is your website and your portfolio also speaking to premium clients? Because what happens when people stop at that bottom level thinking of that social media, it's like you have to think premium clients, they might not even be on social media. So you're wondering, why am I not booking premium clients? Where are they? They might not be on social media. So if you just are only doing your marketing efforts into there, you're not speaking to them. So then it comes to a step deeper of that website and portfolio and your SEO and building that all around that. Does your website, does your portfolio communicate premium to premium clients? Does it communicate the style that you do? Does it all make sense together? Is it clearly communicating who you work with and who you are for? Because then that next tier upwards is your branding and your copy. And so not only do you have a website that's converting and easy to use and easy on the client journey end, that side, is your contact easy to find, your contact form easy to find, but then you tie it in with your branding and your messaging and your copy. Does the copy that you're using match the portfolio that you're saying? Does it match your website? Does it match your marketing, the way that you're portraying yourself on social media? Does all of that tie together? And then the very top one is client connection. So I'm a big fan of client experience. That's kind of like my jam. And everything you do in your business is actually client experience. Like everything circles back to it. Even the nitty gritty of like sending contracts and invoices and all these things, it's all client experience. So I'm a big fan of that. So that top one is client connection. So how are you connecting with your clients through everything that I just mentioned in that premium client pyramid? It's the very top because it's how you're actually delivering that in-person experience to them, like tying it all up in a bow, that digital experience that the client journey is going through and the client is experiencing you on that end. And then to meeting a person, to how you're connecting with them, how you're serving them to deliver, like kind of tie it up in a bow and deliver that experience. So when looking at that premium client pyramid, I think mistakes that I see people like you are asking is stopping at that lower level, stopping at just social media and not tying all of these things together. And then also realizing that maybe their copy doesn't make sense, because I think as a photographer, especially we're visual artists. And so our copy, we always kind of forget about our copy, and words are kind of hard for a lot of us. And so not having copy that also aligns with your portfolio. But then also too, the last mistake that I see a lot of people make is not having like a clear brand promise and clear elevator pitch and outline their unique like approach and editing style to things, because that's going to directly attract or repel their ideal clients. And it's going to set that foundation for literally the rest of your business. Like if you can create that brand promise, your unique approach that's different. We all do the same thing. We all photograph weddings, or we think we do the same thing as people in our industry, but we do it so differently. So how do you approach it? How do you view it? What's your editing style? What's your photography style? What's your posing approach? How does your editing style match your brand promise and how you make people feel? And how do you make people feel? What are you going to deliver them during their experience that literally they can't get anywhere else but from you? I think when you can have those things that make you stand apart, people are going to want to invest in that premium experience. And it kind of goes back to that copy stuff too, is that your copy also needs to speak premium, and it needs to speak directly to them and make sure that it's making you stand out in a way that you're using verbiage that speaks to premium clients. Because premium clients versus low budget clients, I guess you could use that verbiage, is that premium clients like to know the desired outcome and they want to talk into the emotion and the feeling of things. Whereas low budget clients, typically they want to know the deliverables. They want to know the pricing. They want to know like more of the facts. And so when you can differentiate that in your copy, you're going to start speaking to more premium clients.
Could you actually give a couple examples of like copy for whether we might call it low or middle market to premium? Like what would the copy look like in terms of that?
Yeah. So the like a lower, middle, like medium market client would maybe be more drawn to the packages on a website that say 10 hours of coverage, wedding photography coverage. I'll be there to help you through your day. You get 10 hours of coverage. You get an engagement session, like a free engagement session, a second photographer, it's $3,000. But a more premium client, they don't care as much about the deliverables as they want to know of how are you going to change my life and how are you going to make me feel during this experience. So some copy and verbiage for that of like packages on our website would be like taking all the stress away from you on your wedding day to make you feel beautiful and give you photos that you're going to look back at and remember. Like obviously more luxury than that. This is very basic verbiage. And not even going in depth on the deliverables, not even going into depth of what they're getting or how much it costs, because the copy you're using, they don't care. They're like, this is what we want. We want this because of the emotion that's tied to it, because of the desired outcome of this is how we're going to feel. And this is what she's going to deliver us during our service together.
In terms of like trying to figure out those desired outcomes, do you have any strategies or ways in which you can actually determine what that is for your ideal client?
Yeah, that's such a good question too. So it kind of goes back to that brand promise, that bold brand promise, and kind of your elevator pitch too. But the promise of what is every single client going to walk away from your experience with, that like you confidently can say, yeah, like, I make clients feel this way And you can get this from testimonials people say from you. Start to pick up on the verbiage that they use about you and your experience. Also know yourself and how you like to serve people. At the end of my sessions, I want my couples to like leave their sessions like feeling more in love with each other than they came. Like I want them to feel so connected and so deeply rooted with like within each other and excited and just feel like they're leaving on a high and like, you know, and you just feel like a little bit more in love that way. I want every single one of my couples to leave our sessions that way. Okay, cool. Now that you know that this is what you want and this is what you do and how you serve people and like how you make people feel, how do you do that? Then you break it down. Well, I guess my specific posing approach is very customized for each couple. And because I customize that, that allows them to fall more in love. Okay, so this is my posing approach and how I do it. Okay, and my editing style is more warm because I like to make people feel warm and invited and joyful. And my warm editing style matches that desired outcome, and it also matches the approach that I have. So it literally all ties together and makes sense. That way, when someone is coming across your work, they can feel that and it's clearly communicated. But then when they go through the experience and they have that with you, it's also going to click. Because if it doesn't click, you immediately break their trust and you don't have that trust with them. So kind of just outlining your bold brand promise, your unique like posing approach, maybe your editing approach, and how they all tie together and how they all make sense.
I think it's so cool that you kind of laid out at this pyramid. And I think a lot of people kind of get stuck on that, yeah, social media or even like that website portfolio piece. So as you're working with people and as you're trying to encourage people to kind of go a step further and like work on their branding and copy and work on their client experience, like what are some like tangible first steps you have them take, whether it's like mapping everything out or like figuring out the pain points? Like what is it that you recommend them doing to kind of like break out of that, like staying towards the bottom of that pyramid?
Yeah, that's also a really good question. I feel like I could go so many different directions with this. I feel like the first step, and I know I already talked about it, which I want to give more than what I just talked about, but honestly, like my first step is to figure out your bold brand promise, your unique approach, your elevator pitch. Those things, absolute first foundation to figure that out. Because then you're going to know who you're speaking to, and then you can build off of your marketing from there and just your copy and verbiage and everything you can kind of build off of there. But since we already talked about that, I want to give something else too. When it comes to like marketing too, I think it's really important for people to broaden their horizon. And also I love the psychology behind like business and marketing and connection and serving. And so something I see a lot of people not do, I guess, and something that would be a good first step is to market to all three different buyer types. So if you think about like everyone purchases and makes purchasing decisions from different places. And so if you can figure out what type of buyer someone is, you can then like analyze their inquiry form, figure out what buyer type they are, and then customize the response to them to have a deeper connection. And then to also in return have like a higher conversion rate and a higher booking rate because you are making that connection and serving them, meeting them where they need to be at. So when it comes to your marketing strategy, figuring out and mapping out and speaking out and creating content to all three different buyer types.
That totally makes sense of like just kind of your marketing strategy, making sure that you're actually speaking to them and knowing the different buyer types, because not every single client is going to have the same desires, but they might still be in that same market, right? Because everyone's still unique within that. So I think that's really cool that you just kind of like laid that out a little bit. Now, do you mind actually too, just like defining a little bit more like, okay, what are the different types of buyers?
Yes, of course. It's such a good question too. So I kind of outline, because I like the psychology and things behind it and all of that, I kind of picked up on certain things and qualities and traits that people were coming to me with their inquiries and figuring out how can I like define who these people are and like where they're at in their buyer journey. And so I kind of created three different buyer types myself. So number one is the realist. And there's the realist, the connector, and the dreamer buyer. So the realist is kind of someone who they want the facts. They maybe are price, like they want your price right away. They're price shopping. They really value certainty as one of their basic human needs, meaning they just want to know what they're getting from it. They might be more left brain thinking, more analytical thinking. And that's the first one of the realist. The second one is the connector buyer. This is someone that might know of you, but maybe they're not 100% sold on like hiring you yet. And they tend to purchase from a place of connection. So after you get them on the phone, or after you connect with them, or after you showcase the value that you can build off of that connection, then they want to, then they're more invested and they're more interested in you. And then number three, the dreamer buyer, it's someone who comes to you saying, like, I've had you picked out as my wedding photographer since I was 16. I've always known I've wanted you. I don't care what your prices are. We want to book you. And so those are kind of like the three buyer types. And you can pick up on this from their initial inquiry of where they're at and where their head's at and what they're thinking. And then therefore you can like analyze their inquiry and then customize your response to meet them where they're at, to help you have a higher conversion rate because of that connection that you're building. And so I also think that ties back into like premium clients or low to mid-market clients of, am I actually serving and meeting them where they're at, or am I able to actually convert into a higher like premium client or not, basically based on figuring out their buyer types.
That's seriously so good. And I love what you were saying about how like you can kind of figure out in that initial inquiry form kind of which buyer type they might be. Do you mind expanding on that a little bit and talking through like maybe what some of the differences would maybe look like?
Yes. So to start back from the beginning, the realist buyer, again, they're analytical thinking. They maybe are more left brain thinking. They want the facts. They're price shopping. So when you're getting an inquiry, if it's someone who just says, hey, this is our date, this is our venue, what's included in your packages and what's your price? Like very straight to the point. They're not sure. They're just price shopping. They don't go into much detail about their day, of what they're wanting. They literally just want to know the basics. And I think a lot of people write off these realist buyers as like non-ideal clients because for some reason in our industry, as creative entrepreneurs, we want clients who are obsessed with us. Like we want clients who are like really value our work and will pay what we're worth. But if we're not communicating what we're worth, why should they? Why should they like invest these higher payments into us too? So I think a lot of people write these people off as non-ideal clients, which I think is just so wrong. I think that we've missed the mark on that because some of my favorite clients and even like premium clients have been more left-brain thinkers and more analytical thinking. All that means is that the way in which you respond is maybe that you're going to send your prices right away instead of trying to get them on the phone, or maybe you're going to provide them a resource of like a graph. Maybe if they're left brain thinkers, they're analytical. They want to see difference. Here's what you get from me. They maybe want to see the deliverables. Here's what average photographer deliverables in the area get. Here's how I deliver it. So they can literally see a graph. So because that's the way their brain thinks. It also might be just a good indicator that if you do get them on the phone, that you just have to do more belief shifting to get them into right brain thinking. Because if they are more left brain thinking, we as wedding photographers, we're more right brained, emotional, connective thinkers. So it's just how much belief shifting you then have to get them over into that right brain thinking. So that would just kind of be an example of the realist buyer.
Totally. And then is there like a specific thing you pick up on in the form? Like, is it because they ask a certain question, or do you have like a specific field that they like fill out? I'm sure it doesn't look like that, but like, I'm a realist. Like, how do you kind of like start that from the inquiry form?
Yeah. So that's good. So like I said, it's, are you price shopping? Are you just looking for the facts? Are you just wanting to know? Are you unsure of, you know, you're not sure what your budget is. We're just price shopping. And when they fill out, because sometimes my questions will say, tell me more about yourself and your day. And their answers are, just looking for packages, you know, just looking for prices. And then my last question on my contact form, is there anything else that you want to ask or anything else you want to know? And sometimes they just say, like, what are your prices? You know, so it's stuff like that where they're just being super direct and they're not giving a lot of information and they want to know the facts and they're just price shopping. Those are okay. The things that I can pick up on.
Totally. And I think that's really good to kind of, you know, determine. So then, buyer type number two, which is the connector buyer, what would that look like for them? If you don't mind like walking through the same experience, but for like the connector buyer.
Yep. So the connector buyer can kind of go in a different way. And I like to refer to like the realist as almost like a cold lead. And the connector buyer is almost like a warm lead. And then a dreamer buyer is like a hot lead, if you're talking in terms of like marketing terminology. So a connector buyer is like a warm lead. They know who you are. They know of you, but they're not sure that they want to go with you yet. A connector buyer is someone that in their inquiry form, they maybe value love and connection as one of their basic human needs, meaning they're going to go into detail about how they met their, like what they envision on their wedding day. Maybe the things that are most important to them on their wedding day is their family and friends. Like that's more of their values versus like a detail-oriented person. Not saying that a detail-oriented person can't be a connector buyer, but they value love and connection more. They maybe are unsure that they think they want you. So sometimes in my where do you stand in booking me, it's either just price shopping, we're unsure, or we know we want you. We want to book you. And they might be either we want to book you or we're unsure. We want to connect a little bit more. They might be focused on their inquiry just more about like emotions. Like you can see that they value quality time as a basic, as like a love language with their loved ones. And so they're kind of open too. They might be someone who values love and connection, but possibly uncertainty too. They want some help in that creativity. They want to be showcased some variety, and they want to know that you can like create and craft this experience together. And so that's someone who then the way I would respond to that is to have them get on the phone with me so that I can deeper connect with them and like then hear them, listen to them, hear what they want out of their wedding day, and then speak into that. So also something when you are responding to someone with a connector buyer, something that's really beneficial is having personalized communication. So have like so that we can like build a relationship and have like specific touch points and connection points, have personalized emails, have more one-on-one conversations that way. And they also might want to see the offer value before purchasing. So they might be someone who like they really want to hear and see and see the value. So they might value content. They also might value something like resources or tips or guides, blog posts, things like that, testimonials, things that help establish trust and credibility so that they can connect those two things to have more trust with you. So I would also respond with blog posts, resources, and let them know also that I help, what is it, like guide them through and give them resources through their entire experience with me. And I think the biggest thing with a connector buyer is that you just want to listen to what they say and then respond accordingly. So like listen to what their belief, like limiting beliefs are or any concerns that they have, and then kind of tailor your response based on how you're going to approach that. So say it's someone who's like, they come to you and they're like, yeah, our families are just a lot. And the family photo portion of the day is really going to, it's really driving, like giving me anxiety. Like, I don't know. I'm scared for that. Then I can speak into them that way, into their concerns, and say, I actually have you fill out a family shot list before the wedding day. And then on the wedding day, during the family portion, I'm the one that's calling all the combinations. So you can just stand there and enjoy. And if anyone asks any questions, I can just say, I have the shot list, and you can, and we're going to follow the shot list, and I can kind of take control over there. And then you can kind of feel like their shoulders kind of release of like, oh, okay, cool. Like that's stress off of me. So it's really speaking into their concerns and how you're going to bridge that gap for them. And the more you can connect with them that way based off of what they're looking for or what's holding them back, they're going to connect with you more. And they're also going to feel seen and valued and heard that way.
That's seriously so good. And I think that really speaks to just how different everyone is. And this is the middle one, right? So we just went over the connector, but now I'd love to hear, just give it a quick walkthrough of what would it look like to go through the same process with the dreamer?
Yeah. So the dreamer, again, is someone who comes to you and says, I know I've had you picked out as my wedding photographer forever. I know I want you. Here's our details, or I'm not even engaged yet, or we don't even have our venue yet. We want you, whatever you charge, like whatever your prices are. Then, you know, again, like I said, it's more considered more of a hot lead where you don't have to like do as much belief shifting, I guess, as you would a realist buyer. And so with dreamer buyers, you really can highlight the desires. So you could also get them on the phone afterwards if you wanted to as well, or they might just be someone who's like, here's my packages, and they want a book. So, but in terms of analyzing an inquiry, it would be maybe they don't have a budget because they just will pay you whatever it is. And in their tell me about you, it's just they tell you a little bit about your day, and then they just say, we know we want you. whatever, you know, it is, or they just have these big elaborate dreams for what they want for their wedding. And then therefore, when you respond to that inquiry, you can highlight the desires. So again, those premium clients, probably a dreamer buyer, they really value and desire the outcome. And so if you can showcase that in your language by emotions, testimonials, and just talking about how you're making them feel, like they're already kind of sold on that. Premium, and they oftentimes, dreamer buyers are more so premium clients. And so they love exclusive offers. So if you can create custom proposals for them, they really, really like that. They also, just a way when you're highlighting desires, you can do that through storytelling. Because dreamer buyers and premium clients, they really value the desired outcome, like I said, but also storytelling. So again, you can share success stories and testimonials from past clients who really are aligned with them and are aligned with dream buyers, and let them envision themselves in that situation and in that experience too.
Okay, I really loved what you were talking about, how you kind of do like these custom proposals. And it seems like there's a, it really seems like you really do a good job of tailoring that experience.
Yes.
So I guess I have a question on how do you know when you need to customize it? How do you know when you need to send it up front or get them on a call? Like at what point are you making that decision? And how do you kind of still keep consistency within your brand, even though your process switches?
That's such a good question, because that's what people want to know. Like, how do I actually determine? Like, how do I decide? So realist buyers or left brain thinkers, analytical people that just want the facts that I can pick up on that trait, I'm going to send them my pricing right away. I'm going to send them my standard pricing guide that I have. If it works and if it fits within like their local, they know they want a full day coverage or like eight to 10 hour coverage, their budget is like within what I have to offer, it makes sense, I'm going to send them my standard pricing because that's what they want upfront. But my only call to action in my initial inquiry is only ever to get them on the phone, because that's my next step of my process. So I am going to send the pricing with that, with like realist buyers or left brain thinkers or analytical people who tend to think that way. They want the facts. Other than that, I usually try to get everyone else on the phone. And it also depends, because the way I can tell if I need to do a custom proposal is if they're not sure of how much coverage they want. Maybe they want their day split up into two separate parts, or maybe they're doing this on their day and they want to do it at separate locations, or maybe they talked about eloping here or something like that, where I know I'm going to need to customize this. And also if they are just unsure of their budget, then I know I need to talk to you more about what you're even wanting and what you're needing from me to know what prices that I can do, or like what packages I can create for you. And whether they know their budget or not, sometimes they have a budget, but I still need to know more details. Like, are you wanting all of these things? And I think that's when you can kind of figure out, like doing a custom proposal, is if you just are getting information, if you need to do different hours, breaking it into separate days, doing different packages, engagement sessions or not. And I like to do custom proposals as much as I possibly can, because you also, custom proposals are really good for those connection buyers, because they want to feel, and the dreamer buyers, because they want to feel like they are a part of this process with you, a part of the creative process, and have some control. And I also do feel like just the way the industry has shifted and just like the way that it is now, people do want a little bit more control over that. And also it's just helped my conversion and booking rate be higher as well, just to be like, okay, let's just meet you where you're at and what are you looking for and what are you needing and how can we tailor this together? And therefore they really appreciate that, because now a lot of people are doing that. And it's just helped my booking rates be higher too by doing those custom proposals.
And I think that totally makes sense, because you're customizing it to them. Now, quick question. Do you mind walking through, just like really getting into the meat of this, but like the custom proposal process? So is it like you pull up a la carte, or are you asking them their budget? And at what point are you doing that? And then how are you like crafting that custom proposal experience?
Such a good question too. You have really good questions. I love it. So there, when I'm asking their budget, I do ask their budget on the contact form, but I don't have it a required field. Like if they don't know, that's okay. Like I don't want them to think that a budget is going to make or break my thoughts towards them. And also just a lot of people just have no clue. A lot of people have no idea how much our services cost, especially if you don't have it on your website. Because I do a lot of custom proposals, I don't have my wedding package prices on my website because I do a lot of custom proposals. So it also just depends on the business model that you use for yourself. So I do ask the budget on the contact form. And then if I still don't know or if they put they're unsure, I'm just straightforward. Once I get them on the phone, I'm talking to them on the phone, I will just straight up ask them. I'm like, is there an idea like range that you want to stay within? If they say 5,000, then I know I can create some packages. I'm going to do some like an all-in package that's maybe a little bit higher than that. My base, like that middle package, to be that or a little higher, and then one to be slightly lower, but to maybe not, you know, just to meet their needs of what they want, but then also just kind of know to gauge that that's kind of around the budget that they're thinking and what they're looking for, depending. A lot of it just depends on what they want in their packages and what their budget is that can allow for that. And then what I do is I actually have hidden pages on my website. So I go in and I create like a website page for them, and that is their custom proposal. My standard pricing guide is a PDF. My custom proposals are hidden website page links. And so I will go into a custom proposal. I will change all the portfolio to match them and what they want for their day. So it makes sense. So if they're getting married on a beach, I'm not sending them a pricing guide that has mountain portfolio or anything like that. So everything's matching them, but then I'm also changing the copy and the verbiage to speak more to them. I'm also changing their names. I'm customizing their names. I'm customizing and going in and creating an actual timeline that would be for their actual day based on like sunset time and all of that. And then I'm going in and I'm adding packages that are just specifically for them. And then my only call to action from a pricing guide or a custom proposal is for them to email me back which package feels most aligned for them and which one they want to book. I see a lot of photographers like end their pricing guide with like, here's my Instagram, here's my Facebook, my Pinterest, all this stuff. Email me back or like, let me know, like, you know, thanks for like watching the guide or like consuming the guide and all that stuff. It's like your only call to action should be for them to tell you which package they want to book with.
Okay. There's so much to unpack just ending of that. And you've given already so much. So I just have a couple more questions. I guess like as you kind of ask them their budget, which I think it's great that you do that. Context, do you actually have like you're starting at on your website, or is there nothing there and they're just kind of going off on a whim?
For weddings, there's nothing there.
Okay.
But there's no right or wrong. They absolutely is not. It's just because I do a lot of custom proposals and I do weddings kind of like local and afar, cross country. So it's like, I don't want to say this is my starting price or this is my average price when maybe it's just completely not what they're needing, not what they're looking for. And I also do offer an associate team of associate photographers. And so like I can meet them where they're at depending on what they need. So it's like, it's just kind of all over the place. And I also do feel like I've communicated my brand enough to be like, it's kind of been able to vet out like lower budget, but also people don't know. And so you still are going to get like lower budget inquiries, and that's totally fine. I have been able to like my whole inquiry to income process that I do, I've been able to take someone that has come to me with like a $1,500 budget, and then they end up booking me for a $6,000 elopement just because of the process I took them through of this whole inquiry to income process. So it's like, you can't write that off. It's up to you to communicate that value and in your branding and messaging and copy and all of that stuff. So I do think that that's important to highlight as well.
Perfect. Awesome. I feel like I could continue asking a million questions, but you've left us with such great information. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show today. For people who are interested in learning more about you and your programs, where can they find you and what types of things do you offer?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I could go off an hour or two in each direction that we talked about today and like go way more in depth. But I do have a lot of like a more in-depth episodes on my podcast, the Gold Biz Podcast. So I do have a lot of episodes there. Otherwise, you can find me at Rachel Traxler on Instagram. And I offer tons of free education and resources through Instagram and freebies and my podcast. So that would be a good base place to find me as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Everyone listening, take a look at all the resources, everything linked in the show notes, because Rachel's great and you should definitely connect with her. So have a great day and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Take Your Shot podcast. If you found this podcast helpful or insightful, we would absolutely be honored if you could take a moment to leave us a review on whichever platform you're listening on. If you have any friends who you think would benefit from this podcast, please share it with them. And lastly, we absolutely love connecting with you all on social media. You can find us using the links below in the show notes. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.